and welcome to the first Trev and Ben podcast of 2024. Happy New Year, dear listener. Happy New Year, Ben.
Happy New Year, listeners, and Happy New Year, Trev.
How's 2024 been so far?
So far, not too much to complain about, but the year is young. What about yourself?
I came into the new year, I don't really do New Year's resolutions, but I did come into the new year thinking I'm going to try and relax more. I'm going to try and be calm. I'm not going to let things wind me up quite so much as they did in 2023.
I'll give it a month.
I was a raging torrent of hatred by the end of 2023. Everything and everyone was annoying me. By about, I think you and I text each other at 19 minutes past midnight on New Year's Eve, I was into my second rant by then. And here we are, what, a week in, and it hasn't got much better.
Really? What's been annoying you since then?
Well, let's go back to New Year's Eve, shall we? I mean, the first thing that annoyed me, I was watching the fireworks, the London fireworks that went up, and I got really annoyed by the, it's just become like a little London propaganda display rather than just the fire. Just crack on with some fireworks, have a bit of music, not all this bullshit little bits of speech. London's the greatest place in the world. just give us some fireworks. Move on.
I remember that. Was it your first rant of the new year? Might have been that you were ranting to me that you were surprised there wasn't a tribute to the ultra low emission zone in the firework display.
I was expecting there to be one. I thought within the propaganda there would be something about that. But there didn't seem to. I mean, the things about the environment, there was a subtle thing about the. I didn't quite. Did you watch the fireworks?
I did. And I'm glad I watched it at home because the footage I've seen on social media of people who tried to get anywhere near it, it looks hellish.
Well, anyway, I don't know why you bothered going up. I mean, I don't know what they charge now. Is it 25? £5 a ticket? Might be more than that. It used to be free, but of course now, you know, get as much money out of you as you possibly can. It's fucking fireworks. You can go and watch them from a distance for free. But anyway, that's another rant. See, already I'm ranting again. Right, so but they did have, like, there was one bit, because there were some drones, it had like a boy blowing a bubble. I didn't really know what that was all about. I sort of assumed that was about clean air. I don't know. But anyway, so that annoyed me. But then by about 19 minutes past, because you text me to say you were watching, I mean, look, each their own, right? Whatever you want to do on New Year's Eve. But you were watching the Rick Astley, Rick Astley New Year's Eve spectacle. I've got nothing against Rick Astley. He seems to be a very popular man. It has been for a long time. But it wouldn't have been my choice of viewing on New Year's Eve. But you text me, so I'm watching Rick Astley. But he hasn't done Never Gonna Give You Up yet.
In my defence, I was quite drunk by about midnight. And I was starting to panic a little bit that I'd fallen into a time capsule and woken up in 1987.
Well, he's aged well, hasn't he? Let's be fair. You know, I mean, you look at it, it could be any era of Rick Astley. He looks exactly the same. He must have the secret of eternal life. You know?
Yes, the elixir of youth, I think he's been supping from. But yeah, it's incredible, because I thought something's amiss here, because it was a build-up of cover song after cover song. And yeah. I thought, oh, come on, where's the big one? I thought, oh, I see where this is going. It's going to be, we're going to be Rick-rolled into 2024 with Never Going to Give You Up.
I think I made the prediction that it would be his first song following the bongs and the fireworks, and sure as eggs is eggs. He went straight into it. And I did watch him do Never Gonna Give You Up. I think I watched most of that, but I turned it off when he said, now this is New Year's Eve, right? It's a massive thing. It's BBC One, the biggest channel in the UK, probably. So it's the biggest thing that's on New Year's Eve. And he says, there's only one man I could bring on. And I'm thinking, who's he getting? Like, surely this is going to be like a biggie. It's going to be Paul McCartney. It's going to be Elton John. It's going to be, I don't know, maybe they've resurrected David Bowie.
I've just remembered who it is. And I think I'd blanked it out. I don't know if it was drunk or if it was because it was just so painful that I just suppressed the memory. Oh my God.
Well, he brings that. So I'm sitting there thinking, oh, who's this? It's going to be a big name, this. It's Ryland. Now, fuck off, right? I, at that point, I think I texted and said, I'm off to bed. I'm calling it a night. I mean, look, right? There are people that like Ryland. He's a very competent television presenter, but he's not. And I just watched him come on. I thought, no, No, like, what is he doing on this thing? Why him?
And I then, completely agree. I have nothing against Rylan at all. I don't think he's a bad singer. I don't think he's a bad presenter. It was the fact, though, that he was so heavily drum-rolled as some sort of British icon. As I mean, we should have... I mean, the warning signs were there that we were given Rick Astley to begin with.
Yeah.
Like I say,
yeah.
1987, never going to give you up. And then... and then drum rolled. I mean, if they were going to get McCartney, they wouldn't have had Rick Astley. Let's put it that way. So we should have expected Rylan to begin with.
No, I mean, I don't know. Who could he have brought? Because I did watch a little bit of... I normally watch a little bit of Jules Holland on New Year's Eve. But even that this year, like, they brought on Rod Stewart very early on. Now, people like Rod Stewart. I've got nothing against Rod Stewart. But it seems every year I watch The Hootenanny now, there's always some old man who sort of lost the ability to sing. And this year it was Rod Stewart's turn. And I just thought, oh, God, I can't even do that. No, bedtime for me now. I mean, they even had I'm just turning into such an old man. They had the Sugar Babes on, who are apparently back together.
Really?
Oh, Christ on a bike. I mean, no.
I couldn't name you one of the Sugar Babes. I don't think I could have named you one of the Sugar Babes at the height of their popularity, let alone 2024.
I couldn't. It was Mucha Buena. Was she one of the... These are the original ones. I don't know how many Sugar Babes there have been, but I just watched it. I thought, no, no, no. Give. I don't know what I want. I don't know. It's me. Mother. I just thought, what is all this tripe? So I went to bed. By the way, I went to bed thinking, I've seen the New Year. I've done my duty. I've seen the New Year's in. I've texted a few people. Happy New Year. I'm going to bed. Why were people still letting off fireworks at 1:30? I mean, it sort of started at 11:30. If you're going to... I can understand that, like, earlier in the day. I heard some earlier in the day. And I thought, oh, you know, obviously children, right? They're going to bed early. So we're going to set some fireworks off. Let the children sort of celebrate the New Year early. But then they were going off about 11:30. I think you might as well wait till fucking midnight.
Now, I agree, not before midnight, but I'm not such a Grinch as you that I think 1:30, the party's still going at that point. I say that's acceptable.
No.
When it's January the 4th, I have an issue with why we're still getting the occasional pop and bang.
No, I don't think 1:30 is acceptable. Everyone knows at midnight there'll be an onslaught. I mean, it was like World War 3 outside here. It was mental. I don't know where people get them from. But it was. I think, you know, for about 30 minutes, fine. But by 12:30, you should be all back inside. You can carry on your party. I don't see any need for fireworks. It's like at 1:30, people going, oh, we forgot to do the fireworks. Like, it's the main event. What? Surely you haven't forgotten about it. You're going, oh, do you know, it's 1:00. Did we do the fireworks? No, we didn't do the fireworks. Well, leave it now, because people are in bed.
But what are you going to do? If you're pissed and it's 1 a.m. in the morning on New Year's Day, you've had the big party and you've accidentally forgotten your fireworks, you're half cut. I mean, what are you going to do? Not set them off? You've paid good money for them. They're not cheap fireworks.
Oh, I'd have them all arrested, mate. Lock them all up. Sick of it.
Is all that gunpowder and explosions, is that good for the environment? Thinking of old Sadiq Khan's ultra low emissions.
I did think that. I thought, I wonder, you know, A, the money this is costing us, because I don't know who pays for all the fireworks, but I can imagine that's a very expensive display.
I imagine the people who paid for it is anyone who lives in the centre of London with a car.
And yeah, I don't know whether all that explosions is polluting the atmosphere. I can't think it would do any good for a short period of time anyway. You know, all those people that he's trying to protect who have asthma for about 40 minutes, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Just as much smoke as possible. Doesn't really, who cares about them for about 40 minutes on New Year's Eve?
I thought of a great money spinner, though, for Sadiq Khan and the whole, you know, again, help pay off some of the firework debt. Do they shut down the London Eye during the firework display?
Well, I should think so, because they're all sort of attached to it, aren't they? So I'd imagine that's a bit of a risk for people to be in the eye.
I bet you could charge someone, you know, not the likes of you and me, not scum like you and me, Trev, but I reckon there'll be some idiots with more money than sense who would pay 20 grand to be in one of the pods during the firework display.
Well, I don't know, though, because you wouldn't really see it from inside there, would you? You wouldn't really experience it. Because fireworks are better from a distance, really, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. It'd be like being... Because I thought at one point that the London Eye looked pretty engulfed in explosions of fireworks.
Yeah.
And, of course, you say that, you know, it would be better to be observing them from the ground, but that's only because you've never known what it's like to be within inside a firework blast.
That's true.
And you could do it safely.
It could be in. Maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe there are some very rich people who can be in there. But I just imagine health and safety wouldn't allow anyone. Mind you, did you see the London Eye had was a panel ripped out during the high winds and somebody, there was people in the capsule.
Really? What, did they fly off to the Land of Oz? Are they okay?
Well, they were able to. Luckily, they all stayed in. But imagine how terrifying that must have been.
What, you mean it completely detached and blew away?
Well, not the whole pod. I think we're a panel from the pod.
Oh, no, that's far less exciting.
I would imagine you would have heard of it if it was been a whole pod. Come off in a night. But terrifying nonetheless, I should think.
Oh, I don't know. Could you sue them for that? Like, the emotional trauma and distress it would cause because you thought, you know, death was imminent? Because I would have thought that the London Eye should be built for weather, you know, weather resistant, strong winds. It shouldn't start falling to bits the moment the wind picks up.
Well, I mean, it was incredibly strong wind. I mean, I'm amazed it was still going round in those sort of winds. You'd have thought they'd have gone, but you know what? Looking at the forecast, we're not going to sort of allow people in it because it must.
I know it was windy, but was it built out? Was it Lego? I mean, it shouldn't be falling apart. It should be a really sturdy structure, shouldn't it?
Well, yes, but I mean, if the you know, a strong wind, mate, can take anything, can't it? Let's be honest. I'll tell you the other terrifying thing. Did you see the aeroplane had a window blow out, didn't it? That wasn't weather related, I don't think. That was just a bit of dodgy plane wear, wasn't it?
I heard about this, but I didn't read too much into it. Was everyone okay?
Everyone was okay, yeah. But they grounded all those planes. I mean, I'm starting to think that I'm glad I don't go on anything that goes too high anymore, because it sounds very dangerous. The more, the older I get, the more I think going up high in anything, no, I'm sort of done with that idea. There was a time in my life where I thought I'd like to go up in a hot air balloon. My brother did that once and he absolutely enjoyed it, although the landing was incredibly bumpy. But I just think, God, I just couldn't do that now. My fear factor as I've got older has grown, and I wouldn't be anywhere near a hot air balloon. It's way too vulnerable for me. I mean, a plane, at least you feel most of the time you're enclosed. I don't know, I'd worry I'd fall out, or have you, do you know when you get the urge to, like, jump? You know what I mean? It happens, isn't it? If you're high up on a cliff, there's a bit of your brain that goes, yeah, you could jump.
I had the same exact experience. I wasn't alone. There were other people I was with who had the same urge. I was on a big ship once, and you look over the side, the sort of sparse ocean just spreading for miles, knowing that you'd be in the middle of nowhere, and you still get the urge to just leap off the side of the ship.
I know. It's terrifying. What is that? What is that of human nature that brings those thoughts to mind? Is it just because it is so... It's a bit like, you know, there's the thing about when people hold a newborn baby, and they think, I could drop this baby.
I could throw it.
And I've heard this theory that it's basically your brain saying, well, you could do, but you will never do that. Because your brain is just processing so much care and attention that you have to put into loving this little creature, that the worst side of you is also just processing those things that could happen. So you're never going to do it. But the problem is those thoughts are there because you're going through every scenario whilst you're processing the best way of caring for it. And I wonder whether it's the same thing. Like, you know, you're not going to throw yourself out of a hot air balloon, but your brain's going, well, the worst case scenario, though, worst case scenario is you could jump.
So that's quite a charitable way of thinking. So what your explanation for this is that you're saying, right, I know I mustn't drop this precious little bundle of joy. It's so breakable and fragile.
Yes.
I must.
Yes.
Now, okay, so safeguarding. What are all the ways I could possibly drop it? I could slip. It could suddenly move. I lose my grip. And you run through all of these ways, and eventually your brain goes, you could throw it. That's another way in which you could drop it. And that's how it starts. That's how the nasty thoughts begin.
That's how I've heard it explained in that way when it's talking about a baby, because I think everybody has this experience with newborn babies. There's this fear that you might drop or could throw the baby. And I think everyone has experienced this. So there is a psychological explanation for these things. And it must be the same sort of thing when you find yourself in those situations where the very last thing you would do comes to mind as a possibility.
Now, you're the godfather to quite a few young children. Are you worried that this admission, if it's heard by your nearest and dearest, might get you defrocked as godfather?
They're too old to hold now, which is a bonus.
Yes, but are they too old to throttle?
And I've thrown them about way too much. So. But I remember holding them when they were very little and having all those thoughts and those fears and those moments where you think you could, like, things could have gone wrong. I remember my friend bringing her son round, very small, probably about 2, so toddler age, and we were playing this game where, you know, like you do, you sort of pick them up and twirl them round and sort of throw them up and down, but you catch them.
Yeah.
And then it's in the aftermath you think, I mean, what if I just sort of twirled him round a bit too fast and lost my grip? He would have gone flying into the wall. Do you know what I mean? Or I dropped him as I was throwing him up and down. I mean, you just think of these things afterwards. But when you're doing it, you know, I mean, I did make him cry because I did twirl him a bit too fast at one point.
He burst into fucking G-force whiplash.
He burst into tears. I thought, oh, that's the sign. Let me just say to any new parent, that's the sign you've gone too far.
Well, I might just think twice. If I ever have kids, I might just think twice about asking you to be godfather.
I've got a very successful record. All of my godchildren are still with us.
Slightly traumatised, but still alive.
Now, Ben, as it is the first podcast of 2024, as is customary now, in our first episode of a new year, we look to our favourite predictors to see what the year ahead has in store.
Yes, it's a bit of a tradition on this show, isn't it?
It has become a tradition. I think it's what people look forward to, Ben. I think, you know, when people get to, I would imagine about mid-December, people go, oh, I can't wait till their first episode of the new year when we hear all the bullshit from a bunch of crackpots. It excites people.
Yeah, and that's not talking about us even, which is nice.
So I've dug out some of the favourites, also a couple of new ones that I'm not sure we've covered before. There's a thing called the Old Moors Almanac. I've not heard of this. I don't think we covered this one before.
I've heard the word almanac before, but I'm not entirely sure what it is. It sounds like a drink.
No,
I mean, cognac. It was a lovely vintage almanac.
Go straight to alcohol, Ben. I mean, surely there's a clue to your problem there. Your first thought is alcohol. No, I mean, it's a book, isn't it? I mean, what I think of is Back to the Future. Is it 2 or 3 where it's about stealing the almanac, which is the sort of book of sports results, so that people can predict it. I think they get it from the future, so they can predict it in the past and make a lot of money.
Okay, I would have thought that's that if you had access to the past and the future, you wouldn't need that. There would be multifarious ways you could place bets to win money without necessarily knowing what was going to happen. That seems a bit unnecessary.
Right, so the film, complete waste of time. No point in watching Back to the Future 2 or 3, whichever one it is, because Ben's destroyed it. No point.
Sorry about that.
Useless. So anyway, the Old Moors Almanac has predicted stuff for 2024. There's an assassination warning for Donald Trump. But, I mean, surely there's always an assassination warning for Donald Trump.
I was going to say, I mean, even if it wasn't Donald Trump, an assassination threat on a president or a past president isn't that groundbreaking a prediction, really, is it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I know it's an election year in the States and things will be ramped up to levels of hatred that we've not seen before, I'm sure. But I don't think that's out of the ordinary. There's a prediction of a massive earthquake. They're always with these predictions, they're always horrible, aren't they? Like, no one ever comes up with any positive predictions for the year ahead. It's like all death and destruction, basically, isn't it? All the time.
There's the occasional royal pregnancy thrown in, which is vaguely positive, I suppose.
Yes, which we might come to later on.
Okay.
But the almanac is predicting a massive earthquake that extends across multiple borders. Now, of course, we have had earthquakes already this year. In Japan, there was the earthquake, then a tsunami warning. So maybe it's already got one right. Straight off the bat in 2024.
Well, I mean, okay, maybe we should take this a bit more seriously then.
Well, finally, from the almanac, it's predicting this year the end of cash. Well, I mean, we're largely a cashless society now. It's not going to be the end of cash, is it? I don't think that's a worthy prediction. Also says the end of roads. Now,
what?
I can't see in the space of 12 months that we are going to see the end of... I mean, we might in London by the time we see cars anyway. I mean, any roads left for anyone to move. But, you know, globally, the end of roads. I think that's a massive claim. I mean, if this time next year we're sitting there going, well, what, isn't it amazing that there are no roads anymore?
I do just want to quickly say, I think there's a few people, whether they know it or not, who we regard as friend of the show. But we don't yet have an enemy of the show. So I'm wondering if we can give Sadiq Khan the title of honorary enemy of the show.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly up there, isn't he? He could be I've got so many enemies. I mean, I think, you know, Trump's
the list
obviously
of Trev.
Well, it's extensive. I mean, obviously the entire Tory party. Oh, by the way, did your fuck the Tory socks arrive?
They did, thank you.
Oh, good, excellent. Have you worn them in with pride yet?
I haven't worn them yet. I'm saving them for a special occasion.
Excellent. Well, I'd wait till they announce the election, then really go for it. But no, I think Sadiq Khan could become the official enemy of the show. Right. Should we move on to one of our favourites, Baba Vanga?
Oh, yes. Now, this is the long-dead mystic who predicted things. She basically spent her life predicting thousands of years into the future.
She did. I mean, I think she died in 1996, but she predicted so many years ahead. So every year we get what's coming up. Now, last year she predicted a devastating solar storm that would strike the planet, as well as a nuclear bioweapon attack. Neither of those occurred, as far as I'm aware.
Now, I thought there was a solar flare at some point, or maybe it wasn't as a bad one, or there was something.
Solar flares are a regular thing, but she predicted a devastating solar storm.
Okay. No, and there wasn't a nuclear attack, as far as I'm aware.
Again, I'd imagine we'd have heard about that.
Yes, probably.
She also predicted that the Earth's orbit could change. I mean, again, I think we would have known about that.
She's not off to a good start for this year, actually, or for last year, I should say.
Not a great success rate for 2023. But let's see what she's predicted for the year ahead. Now, again, another assassination of a world leader. This isn't an attempt. This is a successful attempt of Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Oh, hang on a minute. What? Baba Vanga specifically named Putin?
I think she said the death of a Russian leader will plunge the world into greater uncertainty.
It's not a bad shout.
All I'm saying, Vlad, is watch your back. So I know he loves the podcast. He's a big, big listener. So just saying, Vlad, just watch out.
Yeah, that isn't to be misconstrued as a threat from us, you know. That's just in general good advice, Vlad, you know.
She's also warning, I mean, very similar to 2023. I've got a feeling she's got a bit of a repeat function on some of her predictions, because for 2024, guess what? She's warning of terror attacks and a big country carrying out biological weapon attacks.
Yeah, again, I get the sense it might have been Friday afternoon, the pub's closing soon. It's because, oh, shit, copy paste, that'll do. Mine's a large one. Thank you.
It's not nuclear, though. It's biological weapons.
Oh, she made some changes, so, just, you know, so it would slip through the net, you know.
Change a word or two. I've got people I work with, and you get a bit of work, and you go, I'm sure this is exactly the same as the thing we did last year. And if I say something, you know, no, look at the second line. Oh, yeah, you've changed two words. Similar thing with old Baba Vanga. She was a busy lady, mate. She was a busy lady, weren't she?
Yeah, I hope she occasionally took some time out to relax and not just spend her entire life predicting future lives. That would be a grim way to spend your precious time
is,
on Earth.
Well, the thing is, she got these powers after, I think the story was that she lost her sight. I think I've got this right. She lost her sight during a tornado, and then that gave her these powers of second sight. So she probably couldn't stop. Like, do you know what I mean? It was probably constant. Like, she'd wake up and like, oh, God, the Russian leader going to be assassinated. Oh, better write that down.
Oh, so her power became a curse, is what you're saying.
I mean, let's face it, it's been good for her.
Well, has he? I mean I suppose I wouldn't know her name without this bollocks, but I mean, let's face it,
of course you wouldn't.
For someone with the gift of second sight, she gets an awful lot wrong. I think she's got some blind spots in that third eye of hers.
Right, she's also forecasting a worsening climate with some terrifying weather events wreaking havoc.
Easy one. I could have predicted that.
Well, we've already had the storms. We've already mentioned them. We've already had them. So she, tick. Baba Vanga, well done. Right. Finally, she said that cyber attacks would also throw the world into peril.
Okay. Again, surprised she was aware of cyber attacks and things like that. And does she ever go on to mention anything like AI, for example, which wouldn't have been sort of on everyone's lips by 1996 when she passed away?
That may well come into light in the future, mightn't it? We I don't think as yet we've seen any predictions of AI, but maybe the cyber attacks could be, you know, AI generated.
So she's keeping her sort of tech-related predictions quite vague, so they fall under the umbrella term of tech or cyber.
Well,
so
I don't know.
Never too specific.
Well, she might have some specifics. I mean, I've not read all of her stuff in depth, is what I'm saying to you, Ben. She does have a couple of positive things to say. So these are good things. I mean, we were saying that they don't often have positive things, but she does. She has predicted new treatments for diseases like Alzheimer's and cancer. So, I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Imagine if we could
do that. She's also said there'll be a major technological breakthrough in quantum computing. I mean, I don't even know what that is, so I wouldn't know if there's been a breakthrough or not in that.
Did Baba Vanga the blind mystic genuinely use the words quantum computing?
What, again, you're asking a man who's just reading this from the Daily fucking Star, mate. But no, she probably didn't use those phrases. But in 1996, quantum computing was probably a thing. I mean, whether an old lady in Bulgaria would know that, I don't know. But can I just looking ahead, by the way, she said world hunger would end by 2028.
I mean, not much time left to achieve that.
Communism will return in 2076. I mean, that's all right. I'll be long gone by then.
We won't know, will we?
You might still just see it, Ben.
Just continuing on.
The rise of communism. Jeremy Corbyn will finally become leader. And
I'll be about 90 years old.
And humans will crack time travel in 2304.
Oh, well, I'm definitely not going to see that one.
Right, shall we move on to probably our favourite of the...
Oh, yes.
..of the predictors, our old friend, the Asparamancer.
Now, you can almost hear everyone who isn't a regular listener of the podcast saying, hey, Triff, what's an Asparamancer?
To be honest, mate, we've not picked up any new listeners in the last year. So everyone should know what we're talking about. This is Jemima Packington, the woman who throws asparagus up in the air, and how it lands reads into it what the year ahead has in store.
And it's really no more ludicrous on paper than reading tea leaves, is it, really?
No, probably not. Shall we see what she how she got on for 2023?
Yes, what does Ms. Packington have to say?
Well, last year, for a start, she said the Lionesses would win the Women's World Cup.
Well, no.
Well, we got to the final.
So it's an incorrect prediction.
Well, maybe there was a bit of asparagus that fell off that she misread. So it's fine. We didn't win it anyway. By the way, I will just remind you, Ben, that you also predicted the Lionesses would win this time last year. So, poo to you.
Well, I don't claim to be a sort of... a soothsayer? What do you call these people?
Soothsayer is a great word.
So I'm just an idiot on a podcast. So I don't know. It was just... I think I was just trying to be vaguely patriotic for the first time in my life. I am not a qualified asparamancer, soothsayer, mind reader, fortune teller. I'll leave it to the pros like Ms. Packington.
They said earlier about royal births, and last year she did predict that there will be more royal births in 2023. And she was correct, because Princess Eugenie welcomed her second child.
There you go. Still counts as a royal, just.
She also predicted that the king's coronation would be a joyous occasion. Now, I think...
There's an open goal.
I think it's fair to say it was, although not for everyone. Let's face it, there were people that weren't interested, didn't like it, protested. So it wasn't a joyous occasion for everyone. But in overall terms, I would say it was seen as a joyous celebration.
Yeah, and even people who don't give a shit about the Royals, they still got a bank holiday out of it, so I'm sure they were quite happy.
There you go. Well, let's see what she's got in store for 2024. First up, she's predicted there'll be many regime changes throughout the world. She says on an unprecedented scale. Well, the thing is, there are a lot of elections around the world this year. So, I mean, that there will be regime changes.
And that's something you would have known coming just from glancing at the calendar rather than glancing at the asparagus, surely.
Although she does say, often where least expected.
Oh, so, okay.
Let's face it, if Baba Vanga's right and Putin gets knocked off, there's going to be a new leader there where it's least expected.
Good point.
So I think that's where the two worlds of Baba Vanga and Packington collide.
It's an amazing Sparrow Vanga.
I think it's lovely to be here at a moment like that. I think we should all take that moment in. She's also said, although this is terrible, she says there are going to be more separations and divorces in the royal family.
Oh. Ooh, all eyes on Harry and Meghan then.
Well, why are you picking them?
Well, I mean, who else is, you know, under such scrutiny at the moment with pressure on their marriage? Certainly not Eugenie and the others, is it?
Well, we shall see. We don't know. She's not been specific about who. I mean, let's throw a curveball out there. Charles and Camilla.
Oh, that is quite the curveball. I'm not sure they'd get divorced. She might just suddenly die in an accident one day.
No, because Prince Philip ain't around anymore. It's fine.
Moving on.
The 2024 Olympic Games will not be a resounding success for Team GB. So no point in watching it when that comes around.
Fair enough.
A raft of very well-paid TV personalities will lose their jobs. What? Come on, who's that going to be? I mean, give us names.
Oh, I mean, this is difficult for us to do for entertainment purposes without being sued for libel.
Well, no, Lineker. You know, maybe there'll be an overhaul of Match of the Day. He said last year, you know, in an interview that although he loves it, he knows his time's coming to an end on it. And they might think, well, you know, he's the highest paid earner at the BBC. Time to get someone in cheaper. You know what media people are like, Ben? We've been there where they sit you down and go, basically, you're too expensive. We need people in to do it cheaper. You can just see them having that conversation. Go, Gary, you know, you get £1.3 million a year. It's too expensive for us now. You know, the licence fee just doesn't cover it. We're going to bring in Bob from the local pub to do it.
This prediction may have already come true. When did they officially announce Top Gear was being axed? Because there's three highly paid presenters gone.
Yes, well, that's true. I mean, that was, although it's not been axed, it's been put on hold, Ben. Put on hold indefinitely. Which means, well, axed.
They're not paying them indefinitely, though, are they?
I wouldn't have thought so. No, no.
So there you go. There's three fat salaries on yeah. ice, at least.
Well, I can't see Hugh Edwards coming back. There might have been an official announcement that he's officially left. So that's there's a big salary gone.
Yeah, I mean, ITV have been saving money for months on Philip Schofield, I'd have thought, by now.
So. So, you know, I think there's a lot of big names that could go this year. I think
just treading. I can hear the ice cracking beneath us at this point.
But I'd like to see more people just, like I say, like in... like a friend of mine works, I won't name the radio station, but she's got quite a high profile show on the radio station, but they've made a lot of changes recently, and they've given her like a producer just out of college, which is great. It's an opportunity for someone, but they're not really ready for that sort of position. But I'd like to see more of that. As I say, like for Match of the Day, bring in, like every week, just get someone from the pub to come in and have a little chat with because you've got the pros there. You know, again, you might have to downgrade a bit, like Alan Shearer. He's expensive, right? I think he's up there as one of the highest earners. So bring in someone from the conference. Just don't bring in Joey Barton. Can I just say that Joey Barton is an absolute cock? And I mean, I always knew that he was unpleasant, but he seems to become... He called two female pundits the other day the Rose and Fred West of punditry. I mean, what a pleasant man Joey Barton is.
Wow, okay. I mean, it's one thing saying, I'm not very keen on these two female presenters, or... I don't think that they're very good or knowledgeable at their job. That's one thing. That's still a fairly unpleasant thing to say. But yeah, to go with Fred and Rose West, do you think he knows who Fred and Rose West are? Because otherwise he's just lost the plot, isn't he?
Well, I suppose his brother was in prison with him. You know, and like, I don't know, like on the other side, you know, they're still looking for the new presenters of This Morning, aren't they, really? They're not really announced. So bring in, do you remember the years ago, I think it was a little local BBC radio station brought in a couple of old ladies who ended up having their show for years, but they had no experience. They were just a couple of old, like, yeah, let's face it, who watches This Morning? It's more like a lot of old people, isn't it? So bring on a couple of older people to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, go to a couple of homes and bring a couple of people, like Bert and Vera from the home, and then come in and go, coming up next on This Morning, we're going to be looking at Steridint and its wide range of uses.
Or we could get Rick Astley and Ryland Clark Neal again. Is he still going by Ryland Clark Neal, or has there been a divorce?
He's on everything, though, isn't he? Right, I think there should be less of him.
Small, you know, doses.
Yeah, there are just some people you think, oh, why are they on? But I suppose they have their moment in the sun. And and I just, you know, maybe I'm just bitter that we've never had a moment in the sun. Now, before we wrap up this week, Ben, I thought we'd have one last look back to 2023.
Okay.
And I've been looking at what the most searched for things on Google were in 2023.
Ooh, now I can't even... It feels like it's been a bit of a blur. I can't really remember anything.
I have to say, I look at it and I realise how out of touch I am. I think I've finally reached an age where there's so much of this I just don't get or understand or know. Okay, so I'll just go through a few of these. So in the news, most searched thing, I get this, war in Israel and Gaza.
That's that was going to be up there, probably number one, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. In People, the most searched person of 2023, I've no idea who this person is.
Well, I've heard of them.
I don't know. I'm going to say their name and see if you know, because if you haven't heard of them, we're fucked. Damar Hamlin.
I have absolutely no idea on earth who that is.
No, I'll tell you the other people in the list, the top five, Damar Hamlin at one, Jeremy Renner at two. Well, I know, I've heard of Jeremy Renner. Andrew Tate at number three. I mean, he's just a professional asshole.
That's the first one I've recognised.
Kylian Mbappe at number four.
Yes, know who he is.
And the last one I've not heard of, Travis Kelce?
That's the American football player who's the other half of Taylor Swift, I think. Oh my God, if I've got that wrong, the Swifties are going to come after us, Trev, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah, again, I don't think they listen to this. I don't think Taylor Swift fans are listening to the Trev and Ben podcast.
Well, there you go. When you put out the tweet this week for advertising the podcast is out, just stick in hashtag Taylor Swift and they'll be all over it, mate.
If I just hashtag Taylor Swift is fucking awful.
No, don't do that. No, we'll be lynched. Oh, okay.
I mean, she's not, by the way. If I ever hear a Taylor Swift song, I always think, do you know, because in my work, I have to do occasionally features about Taylor Swift. And I always think, I've got to do a thing about Taylor Swift. And then I have to listen to some of her songs. I think, they're not that bad. I expect them to be dreadful. I mean, she does swear a lot. And I do find that I'm a bit of a prude these days. There's no need to be swearing, Taylor. You know, there's no need for it. But, you know, that's the youth these days, Ben. They swear for no real reason. Fucking idiots. I do like a good swear. I've got nothing against swearing. I just sometimes think in songs, just no need for it. Like, you've got 3 minutes. You can do 3 minutes without swearing. We had years where there wasn't any swearing in songs, didn't we? Like, you know, years.
You're going back a while. I mean, rap music has been out for quite some time now, Trev. I think that might be some off-colour language in there.
It wasn't probably mainstream. Like, they just all do it now. All the artists swear. Like, even Ed Sheeran will put a shit in every now and again. Oh, Ed. Come on, Ed.
You're sounding like such an old fart now.
You're better than that, Ed. Come on now. Right. Damar Hamlin is he's an American footballer, by the way. I've just looked him up.
Oh, okay. I still never heard of him. But at least, I never claimed to be sort of on top of things with American football. I'm surprised I'd heard of that Kelce bloke, to be honest. But
okay. The top... I mean, they've got a list for this. The top deaths searched in 2023.
Oh, Lord.
Number one, Matthew Perry.
Oh,
number two, Tina Turner. That. I know. Sinead O'Connor. Ken Block. I don't know who Ken Block is. Do you know who Ken Block is? I got a feeling this list is very American. I don't know who Ken Block is. Jerry Springer is number five.
The name rings a bell, Ken Block.
I'm going to look him up. I mean, again, I'm adding to the searches now.
Yes, this list is very Americanized. He's a professional American rally driver.
Oh, okay. Right, but what I did look up was some of the funniest things that people Googled.
Okay, what have we got?
One of the top ones was, how do you make lasagna soup?
Is it a riddle? Throw it in a blender? I don't know.
Yeah, just have lasagna. Why turn something nice into a soup? There's no need to be making that a liquid unless your teeth have all fallen out. And that's the sort of thing that whatever his name was, Bob and Vera from the old home, they could do that on this morning. Coming up next, we're going to show you how to make a lasagna soup. You can suck that away. Lovely. Oh, don't have to chew on anything.
I mean, technically, it can't be a lasagna and a soup at the same time, can it?
Well, but then you could say that about anything. You can't technically be a tomato and a soup at the same time, can it? I mean,
It's the
same principle.
So.
Can't be an oxtail and a soup at the same time. It's just it's the effect of turning one thing into a liquid.
Fair enough.
Here's another thing that was searched for on Google. This is probably my favourite thing that anyone would ever type into Google. How often do you think about the Roman Empire?
God, that came up all over the place on social media a while ago.
Did it?
Is this something to do with Andrew Tate again, is it?
It doesn't say, but maybe.
I really hope I'm not getting this wrong, but I basically think something... It was something along the lines of Andrew Tate in one of his many things that he said over the year. It basically said, right. You know, you're not really a real man unless... you know, you've been thinking about the Roman Empire and how it affects what men should be doing. And then it triggered this social media phase of girlfriends going up to their boyfriends and saying, how many times have you thought about the Roman Empire?
Wow.
So, beg your pardon. Sorry, what? Yeah. So I think it was some sort of Andrew Tate speech about manliness. Of course, really only existed in his head, but that's
right,
okay.
Yeah. The weird thing is, though, when I read this earlier today, when I was preparing for our recording, Ben, I did think, I probably think more about the Roman Empire than I imagined I did, because I'd suddenly thought back. I mean, it's often prompted by something. I wouldn't say I would generally think about the Roman Empire unprompted, but I watched a lot of documentaries about the Roman Empire last year, so I ended up thinking about the Roman Empire way more than I probably would have done normally. So
I think you're probably a manlier man than most.
Well, it's weird, isn't it? It's part of my thinking. You know, I learned about the Roman Empire at school. Sometimes that will come back into my mind. Yeah, I think I am a manly man, Ben. I think that's what's come out of this. I may be the Andrew Tate for 2024.
But with a prediction.
But with a more compassionate edge. And finally, I mean, I do this quite a lot. I like the tool on Google now where you can say, what's this tune, and hum it, because I often have tunes going around in my head that I don't really know what the tune is. So it's great to be able to go, hey, Google, what's this tune? And then you can hum it, and then it doesn't always get it right, but I think that's more about my humming than Google.
I didn't know Google could do that. That sounds like why aren't we using that as a feature on the podcast?
I don't know how entertaining that would be, just me and you humming things. It may be more entertaining than what we've done in this podcast. The most hummed tune this year was Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes.
Why?
Well, because it crops up a lot, doesn't it, in sports chants and that sort of thing, but you might not know the song. So you can imagine people going, hey, Google, what's this song? You see, that's what basically a podcast would be like then. So I think already it shows that we shouldn't be doing that for any longer.
You make a good point. Necessary. A strong argument. Yeah.
But I must admit, I do like that function. Another one, see, again, this is where I get a little bit lost by my age. Kill Bill, which I have heard of the song because I've had to work, but I never know how to say this artist's name. It's SZA. I think it's SZA.
I think that's right, yeah.
Can I just say, as an older person now, I hate that. I remember being not told off, but corrected once when we used to have those sessions after radio shows sometimes where they'd listen back and tell you how shit it was. And but there was one where I'd said the name of the band and I thought they were called Dance. And I can't remember what the song was. And the guy who was sitting opposite us, who was quite a well-known, very well-known radio presenter, said to me, it's DNCE. And I just thought, well, fuck off. One, who cares? And two, put dots in between the letters so I know that it's DNCE. Please, artists of the future, make your name clear. I'm not interested.
Yes, it's it should have been. There was DNCE and Cake by the Ocean.
Is that what it is, Cake by the Ocean?
I think so. I think that's their big one, yeah. But when you talk about those sessions where people used to, you know, pull us aside and tell us how shit we were, most presenters on our station would get those once every, I don't know, every other month. We seem to get them on a daily basis for some reason.
Well, we were that shit. Well, there we are. That's it for this week's Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations for you. I'm going to recommend a drama that I binge-watched. It was on Channel 4 at the end of last year, but I'd recorded it all, but it'll be on the catch-up, called The Couple Next Door. And it's a drama about a young couple who develop a friendship with their new neighbours when they move into this idyllic street. But the relationship soon takes this unexpected and sinister turn.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's really good. Hugh Dennis is in it. He plays a brilliant character. who's not the main star of it, but for me, he sort of was.
Can I ask, is it in any way comedic? Because I love Hugh Dennis, but is it a serious role or is it a funny role?
It's a serious role.
Good, but good.
I think just because it's Hugh Dennis, you can sort of find some humour in it, but it's not meant to be.
Okay, I haven't seen this yet, but a friend of mine has highly recommended a programme called Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, which is on ITV, and you can find it on the catch-up service. And it's all about the terrible post office system, the software called Horizon, which I don't know if it necessarily went wrong, the software, or if they knew it had a problem and just chose to ignore it, with some fairly catastrophic consequences to the staff who run and own the post offices. Really quite damaging to some people's lives, but very good programme, highly worth a watch.
Well, I watched it this week, and yeah, it's very good, but man, it makes you angry. Man, it makes you angry that the post office did that to people, and there's the battle's still ongoing for people to clear their names and get compensation, and wow. You just think, it's awful. And I also recommend watching the documentary that was also on following the drama, so but be prepared to be enraged. So on the back of it, the petition for the then head of the post office to lose her CBE has, I can't remember, it's in the hundreds of thousands now, because Adam Bates himself has refused an OBE until she loses her CBE. So come on, people, stand up, sign the petition.
I'm just remembering at the beginning of this podcast you were saying it's my New Year's resolution to be calmer this year, and by the end of it I'm enraged. Come on, people, sign the petition,
man. Like, she was fucking and the worst thing about it is she's also a priest, and you think, how can you reconcile the two sides of this woman, the woman who put people through all that hell,
wow,
and her, you know, religious beliefs. Anyway,
that was annoying. Wow.
That's what she does on the side.
Who has a side hustle as a priest? I thought that was like a calling in life, not a bit of a money on the side.
Well, you know, it's a Sunday job, isn't it? I mean, you... Post is only... There's no post on a Sunday, is there? She's got to do something.
Oh, dear. Let's move along before we offend too many more people.
Talking of angry, I just want to finish this. We had this occasional thing last year. I can't remember what we called it. Was it Cautionary Corner?
Oh, yeah.
Tell you something to avoid. I was furious last night. I went to bed. I was genuinely furious because it was a Saturday night, and I thought, I want to watch a film. I want to, you know, just watch a really good film. And people had said to me, oh, Trevor, you want to watch this film on Netflix? It's called Leave the World Behind. It's a great film. And I thought, okay, I'm going to watch it. It's got Julia Roberts in it. It must be a good film. It's got Ethan Hawke in it. It must be a good film. And it's a decent enough film, right? It's a sort of apocalyptic thing. It's almost like one of the Baba Vanga's predictions. There's a massive event. You don't really know what the event is, but there's a massive event going on, and there are two couples that have met up. It's all very odd. It all becomes very ominous, and there's lots of weird things that happen. And then, now this is 2 hours 21 minutes, this film. I remembered how long it was. 2 hours 21 minutes, and then it just fucking finishes with nothing really explained. There's no resolution to it, and I was absolutely, I thought I'd wasted 2 hours 21 minutes. Can I just put a plea out? Because I was genuinely furious, because I'm sick and tired of giving my time to things that don't have an ending. The sort of norm of a story is a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's been that way for fucking centuries. What is it with modern day storytellers thing? Well, no, we don't need a fucking ending. Apparently this is from a book. At what point did anyone think a book without a fucking ending would make a good film? For Christ's sake, people, think about it. I just thought, no, you wouldn't get a fucking nursery rhyme. Like, if you're going to start having things without endings, it's like, get the children used to it. I'm used to stories with an ending. That's how I was brought up. Maybe younger children don't need it. They go, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill... That's it.
Now, we mentioned the bad weather at the beginning of this. Are you sure? I've had a couple of power cuts up my way. Are you sure that's not what happened? Did it just finish abruptly like that? Or?
Just finish. I was fucking livid. I mean, maybe some people like films like it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick. They're always long-winded, like the Coen brothers. Like, they're the most overrated. Fuck, they never end. They 3 hours of bullshit and then nothing. I'm sick of it, Ben. But anyway, I'm calmer this year, so it's good, isn't it? There we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. Right, Triv and Ben on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.